You've played quite a lot of representative rugby, Peter. Could we just sort of take a stroll through that? You mentioned England under 23. Was that your first representative rugby?
No, first representative really was South and South West against the All Blacks.
Yeah.
I played against Australia for the South West. I played against the All Blacks again for the South and South West because Hignall cried off at the last minute. We used to have England trials as well, and I played for the South and South West against the North. That was with Mickey Burton. That was a funny time. I played...
what do you remember of that game?
Just the way he handled himself, you know, because he was the team manager almost for the South and South. You know, he'd been there before, he knew the ropes and all this sort of thing. Very confident bloke, mind you. Then I played South and South West against London, I think London Counties, up in Roehampton. That wasn't a very good day for us, but there we are. I played a lot of county rugby as well. Yeah. County rugby, I really enjoyed. It was especially in the Southwest. You know, when you did the Southwest group games, they were wonderful.
Yeah.
You know, we used to go to St Ives and stay in the Porthminster Hotel and all that sort of absolutely lovely, absolutely lovely.
31 matches and 367 points. My records show.
Yeah.
Highlights for Gloucestershire.
County Championship finals
has to be.
First one Lancashire at Bristol. Lost 17-12. Good day for me, though. I enjoyed that very much indeed. That was the introduction to it, really. We went to Blundell Sands, Waterloo, and beat Lancashire up there. That was a high spot. That was really good. Then we went to another place in Lancashire, can't remember. We lost there against a good, strong Lancashire side, and we didn't cover ourselves in glory at all that day. We got caught out a couple of times with quick tries. But they deserved their win in the end, a good strong side. Then we went to Middlesex, and that's where I scored all the points in that game.
24, wasn't it?
24-9. Yeah. 24-13 or 24-9 or something like that. And I got a rollicking then off... who was the winger now? Alan Morley, for not passing the ball to him, dummying, going inside and scoring the try. He wasn't very happy about that. He could see the glory coming, you know, but he didn't get to him. But that was a very windy day, and you know, you always did your bit for the local area if you could beat a London side, you know. Yeah. So if we beat Middlesex, that was the good thing. I always remember the after. We had an interview after the game, you know, with the media, because it was on Rugby Special, you know. And I always remember John Bayliss there. I don't really know John. He's got a finger missing.
No.
Yeah, he's got a finger missing on his hand. And he was there with his finger missing. He had a cigarette in his hand and a bottle of champagne. And that was the after-match interview, you know, with John. That was very good. And we've got that video, actually, down here. If you looked at that and played it against, you know, the pace and the power today, totally unbelievable. 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 Just totally different, you know, totally different type of thing. But, you know, times do change and the game has developed quite a lot. I'm not sure it's developed in the best way. I don't think there's the enjoyment that there was. I think, you know, if it's a professional sport, it sometimes becomes a chore for people, I think. But I think the spectacle, I think, was in the days that I played, I think... you know, truly amateur sport, and played for the love of it, and you know, played for enjoyment, I think, and you know, we had some great times out of it.
I remember seeing in our archive that back in 1951 too, I think, the players who played regularly for Gloucester that season, all but three of them were born and bred in and lived in Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
Two of them had come to Gloucester because of jobs and were expected to live there for the duration. Only one player came from outside Gloucester.
Mm-hmm.
Now, clearly, that had broken down to some extent by the time that you were playing.
I think, yeah.
But it's changed out of all recognition now.
Yeah, I think in my day we had a couple from Stroud, I think. I think that was...
real foreigners.
Yeah. And some from Lydney, some imports from Lydney. Yeah, really. But... I think it's changed the heart and soul of it, yeah. For sure. I think, you know, now it's big business, to be fair. But I think that really the final few days, I think, of that local that local feeling. I think probably the '80s, the mid '80s, or something like that. There's still a lot of local players there. I mean, there's only Andy Hazel now, I think, who can, you know, purport to be a local man, come good. I think it did rip the heart and soul out of it. But we've had some things to cheer, mind you, since then. I'll tell you. I mean, I used to love watching Ludo, you know, Ludovic Mercier, and the way he kicked the ball. I mean, I've never seen anything like it. I said I was born in Alvin Street, which was less than half a mile from the ground. Which if you look at the folks, if you look at the John Watkins, if you look at all the Dixies, I mean, Betty Dix used to have the little needle in yarn shop there for many years, and the Dixies used to sleep upstairs, and you know, we're all born within a stone's throw of the place, and that was what made it such a tight team and a tight community, really. There, it was a pleasure, a real pleasure to be there, a real honour to be there.
You know, there are thousands of people, you know, turn up to every game at King's Home. Hopefully there'll be thousands of people who listen to this interview who only ever dream, though I suspect a lot of us dream quite frequently, of playing at King's Home, running out in the cherry and white. What's it really like? Inform our dreams, Peter.
Well, the first time, it was trepidation, I must say. But as soon as you're there... I mean, as soon as you're there and you feel part of what's around you, you feel that you belong. You know, once you've made your mark, you feel that you belong and you're contributing. And if you don't feel you're contributing, then you shouldn't be there. If you feel you're contributing, part of the whole thing. And having come off a season when Gloucester won the first National Cup, you know, they were at the top of the pile. Nobody liked going there. You know, you could see the face. I watched the faces of the guys who came to King's Home and didn't want to play rugby against these real hard nuts. You know, it was almost like what can I say? It was like coming of age. You know, it was like a coming of age and being part of the whole heart and soul of the community. That's what it was. And even now, you know, my wife moans like mad when we go into Gloucester. And the only guy really who talks to me is a guy who sweeps up the road for the council. Hello, Pete. How are you, my boy? And all this sort of thing. He was a supporter in those days. I mean, we get now, Brian Vine and I, when we go down there, we get the council rat catcher come to see us. And he brings me programmes from the time that I was playing. Would you like this? Yeah, it's the front of, you were on the front of Rugby World. Here it is. Thank you very much.
That's
great. I tell you, it is wonderful. Mm. And we have a great chat about the game. He was a prop, a Coney Hill, this guy, but a wonderful man, and he is the heart and soul of the Gloucester community. Last Friday before the game, he said, "Don't know where I shall renew my season ticket next year." He said, "I've been coming here 20 odd years. Don't know where I'll do." I said, "You silly bugger, what are you talking about?" And I tell you what, after we won, he'd be first in the queue now. I tell you,
yeah.
Absolutely. But that's what it's all about. Yeah. It's a great community thing, and. You don't have a lot of privacy when you're out, right? But you know, once you get into your own home, and you know, it's. I think we belong there. I think my wife and I thought we belonged there, you know, and it was something that we belonged to, and it made our early life, you know, absolutely made it. And you dealt with a lot of people. It taught you about, you know, working as a team, getting into teams, working with people. And some of the rowdiest and some of the, you know, some of the people you'd never want to deal with in your life sometimes. But, you know, you had to get on with them. You had to do it. You had to go from some people who couldn't really sometimes put two words together to, you know, people who were very intelligent, like Keith Richardson, you know, schoolmaster at Wycliffe College and all this type of thing. Peter Kingston, Chris Williams, you know, real sort of high powered, quite intelligent people. And Kingston, you know, obviously he replaced Ilted Pierce at Cheltenham, Pate's Grammar School in Cheltenham, and was there ever since. And I went to his retirement game a few months ago, and he now only part time there now, but you know, he's left his legacy in these places, and Peter will be forever remembered for what he did there.
Yeah.
And you know, I hope I've left my mark. He's left his mark at Gloucester, at Lydney, with Johnny Morris, and with you know, with the old coach there, and you know, with the Howells of this world, with the Johnny Cooks of this world, with the Brian Vines of this world, David Crabs of this world, you know, some real, you know, real good local players who came to Gloucester and made their mark. And we accepted them into our community, you know, quite easily. If they were good players, if they showed a lot of skill and they added to what we did, then, you know, it was accepted quite easily into there, really.